They were in the field that night. Well, they were in a neat reading I read by Randy Alcorn not long ago. He was sharing that they were the bottom rung of the Palestinian social ladder. They were at the bottom. They had the same status as tax collectors and dung sweepers, that is, manure sweepers. They had the same status. Farmers despised these shepherds because the sheep ate their crops. They were second class and untrustworthy. They were no good, no good. Now, some earned a bad reputation, and it was well earned. But largely, they were cast in a negative light, and many times, not rightfully. In fact, the rabbis banned grazing of the shepherds, except in desert plains. Didn't want them around. They were deprived of all civil rights, and they were actually labeled by the religious leaders as sinners. They find quite interesting because David, the great king of Israel, was, of course, a shepherd himself. And Bethlehem, it was a place of ill repute. The amazing thing is that God sent his heavenly messengers to these despised shepherds. We're told in verse 8 that in the same region, that is Bethlehem, shepherds were out with their sheep. And we're told that an angel of the Lord appears, and the glory shone. And in the original language, it had, would say something like this: they feared a great fear. That is, they were terrified. And if we read the different accounts in the Bible where an angel appears to someone, oftentimes fear was certainly a response to their appearance. But they were told, do not fear. We have good news. We recognize it today as the gospel good news. On Sunday mornings, we've been going through the book of Romans together. And one thing the first few chapters of Romans make abundantly clear is that we are all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. I don't care if you're religious, if you're in a place that you don't go to church. I mean, the fact is we're all sinners. We all are. And so there's a need for this good news. But the shepherds were told this is something of great joy, and it's for all the people. How exciting that they, these shepherds who are despised by their culture, would be approached by this heavenly band. And they say to him, today, in the city of David, that is Bethlehem, there is born for you, to you, the Savior, Christ the Lord. The sign for them is that they would see a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And then we're told that suddenly a multitude, that is an army of this heavenly host, came. And they were praising and glorifying God. And the shepherds get to see this. The religious leaders in Jerusalem didn't see it. The people in Bethlehem didn't even get to see it. These shepherds, these despised people of that culture, got to hear from these heavenly angels. I have a question. Might the Lord be trying to get your attention tonight? I'm no band of heavenly angels. I won't even pretend that. But the message that they gave the shepherds that night is the same message that I share with you. There is great news of great joy for all the people. The gospel message is that God sent his son Jesus, we know was laid in a manger, but eventually he would be crucified to take your place and my place, so our sins would not be counted against us. But what we're called upon to do is to recognize our sinfulness and to realize that there is no way, absolutely no way, we can spend eternity with the Almighty Holy God unless we come through Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness that makes us worthy of heaven, not our righteousness. We could never earn that. But the baby Jesus was sent to become a grown man, Jesus, who would die. And tonight, I would just encourage you that if you have never placed your trust in Christ and asked him to forgive you of your sin, tonight's the night to do that. The Christmas season helps us remember the whole reason why the baby Jesus was born. Matthew 1:21 says, you shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. He can save us from our sin too if we will call upon him. The shepherds couldn't avoid this message. It was front and center. It was right in their face. But you know, so often we can try to avoid it. I would beg of you tonight, don't avoid the attention God may be wanting you to place on Jesus and what he came to do for you. Well, the amazing thing as we go on in this passage is that God changes the shepherds, and they end up responding by proclaiming him to others and praising God. We're told in verse 15 that God has revealed this great truth to us. Let's go now to Bethlehem. Now, what about the sheep? You ever thought about it? What about the sheep? They were there guarding the sheep, and we don't hear anything about the sheep after this. They're going to Bethlehem to see Jesus. Keep that in mind for a moment. And they hurry, we're told, and they see Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And when they see it, we see that they revealed to others what the angels had revealed to them. They went and found exactly as the angels told them. And we're told in verse 18, all who heard it wondered and marveled. It sounds good, doesn't it? That people who heard about Jesus, they marvel about it. But then just recently, it was pointed out to me that there's another verse in the Bible that talks about people marveling. Interestingly, it's in the book of Revelation, the very last book of the Bible. We know it talks about a great time of tumult that's to come on this earth. Revelation 13:3 tells us that the world marveled and followed the Antichrist. They will marvel and follow him. Now, I probably don't need to remind you of this, but the world did not marvel and follow Jesus in that way. Now, he's had individuals, he's had people come to him, but just marveling about the season isn't enough. The question is, will you follow him? Will you follow him? We're told in verse 19 that Mary treasured these things in her heart. She pondered them. May we do this too. As we hear the scriptures read this season, we think about them like Mary, may we really just value them. In fact, I would just encourage you, sometime tonight or tomorrow, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and go to Luke 2 and just read through the account that I've read and just ask the Lord as you're reading, Lord, help me to see the preciousness of this event. And in the quietness of your room or a living room or someplace, allow the wonder of the season to really just penetrate your mind and heart. And then in verse 20 says, the shepherds praise and they glorify God. Tremendous, tremendous conclusion to this account. These shepherds, the ones who are the outcasts, hear the news, they go and find it exactly as it's been said, and they marvel. And then they praise and they proclaim about this Messiah, Jesus, who they see. Just a few applications just for us to consider as we begin to wind down tonight. Number one, learn from those interruptions in your life. Now, the shepherds had angels come. I'm going to suggest it may not be quite that dramatic in your life in the future, but when those interruptions come, like the bad health or the tough financial situations or other things that come in, see what the Lord would have you learn from that. Maybe he's trying to draw you to himself in those times. Secondly, a Savior was born for you. The shepherds were told, a Savior has been born for you. And I want each one of us to realize the Savior has been born for you too. Yes, you need one, but there's also one available. So I would just call upon you and just encourage you to receive that Savior if you have not. You bring such hope. You know, it's amazing. I just saw a newscast not long ago about a weather anchor who took her life in Michigan not long ago. And the people who served with her on the newscast were giving an appeal to the watchers of the station saying, if you're despairing of hope, we want you to call this helpline. But I want you to know something. The ultimate hope for any of us is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Seek him out. Listen, I don't pretend that everybody here is in a great mood or isn't dealing with depression or who knows what. But I would just encourage you with this. Jesus Christ brings hope. Come to him. Seek him. He will give you that hope that you so need. Thirdly, seek the Savior. Seek the Savior. How urgent are you in seeking the Savior? What one thing do you need to do to seek the Savior more intensely? What would that one thing be? One positive thing. On the other hand, what one thing are you guarding? You want this so bad you're guarding it and it's keeping you from seeking Jesus. Maybe there's something you need to let go tonight. The shepherds were guarding these sheep. It was their livelihood, and yet we don't know what happened to them, but they seek Jesus. That we do know. Maybe there's something that you're holding, you're guarding, that you need to let go and so you can seek Jesus. I know those sheep were valuable. They were their living, but those men went to seek the very Savior of their soul. Don't let anything keep you if you're guarding it as keeping you from seeking Jesus. Finally, notice what those who sought Jesus did. They proclaimed him and they worshiped and praised him. Again, those of you who know Jesus as your Savior, those of you who follow him, with me this season and the songs we have left yet tonight, let's exalt him with great joy. We serve a risen Savior. We serve one who gives us hope. And I would just encourage all of us to just use the time that we have tonight and throughout tomorrow as we have opportunities to just express our worship of him to others and to sing to him. You may not have the greatest voice in the world, but express those words to him. Praise him. This evening, we've talked about the main event of Jesus being born and how God sent his heavenly messengers to these despised shepherds of their time and how that encounter changed their lives to where they saw the Savior and they proclaimed him and they praised him. Tonight, let God's interruptions and let us seeking of him lead us to proclaiming him and to praise him. Father, we thank you for these words of great hope. And may we, like the shepherds, proclaim our Jesus and praise him. Thank you. Thank you for the great gift of Jesus. We just pray this in Jesus' name.
I invite you all to stand and sing with us as we close out this service. What better way to sing to our Lord and Savior than through these amazing hymns that sing about him? We sing Man of Sorrows.
Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place, condemned he stood. He sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah.
to bring.
Then anew this song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you.
him all the glory.
We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory.
And you may be seated. This time I'll invite up one of our deacons to speak.
Is this on? Because I might need it. We'd like to take this time to, I'd like to have a pastor and his wife come up. Is Beth here? Beth, come on up. Nate and Ashley, come on up here. Austin and Krista with a K, come on up here. I guess you're already here. That's how we were introduced to Krista, before she was ever even here. You can come on up here. Don't be afraid of the stage. We like to take this time to... You know, this time of season, we're given the greatest gift. We just like to take this time to present a gift to our pastor.